I want to invite each of you to think of the last really great dinner party you were a part of. Sitting around a table, the gift of shared laughter, the warmth of walls coming down, people genuinely listening to each other, hearing each other's stories. Even that the pleasure of a good story, either shared or listened to. Maybe the awkwardness of learning each other's different habits or customs. Have you ever noticed, anybody go to Swish LA? Everybody's got their own unique way of eating a quarter chicken. You start to learn stuff about each other when you pay attention at things like a dinner party. Even just the connectedness of shared tears. Today, we're going to be talking about extending belonging through hospitality, through that shared table. It doesn't take a lot of imagination when you think about a good time around a meal or even just around a coffee to realize and see how hospitality enjoyed together can really create belonging with each other. I hope that as we talk about it this morning, though, that your imagination is sparked to think of hospitality in a bigger and deeper way than we normally do. As Jesus followers, we're invited to understand and engage with the world in ways that sees things through a deeper, truer lens than perhaps we've understood it before. And I've come to think that this is certainly true around the idea of hospitality and its power to extend belonging. To help us think about it, we're going to lean into a story in John chapter 13. This is part of how John tells his story of the good news of Jesus. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to highlight a bunch of it and then kind of settle on a couple of verses at the end. So John 13, the story is Jesus heading into his final Passover meal. This is one of the most important and sacred meals for the people of Israel. Unlike many times Jesus eats a meal with people, there is no typical host at the meal. This is in what seems to be a borrowed space. Someone's prepared this for them, but Jesus shows up with his disciples. There's not someone there already welcoming them in, or at least that they aren't talked about in the story at all. So as they walk in, it's understood that Jesus is going to lead them through this Passover meal because he's the rabbi. He's the main guy. But that's not the first role he takes when they walk into the meal. Rather, the first thing Jesus does when they walk into the meal is not take the role of the host. It's take the role of the servant of the host. Takes off his outer robe, wraps a towel around his waist, and begins to go around the table washing his disciples' feet. He embodies that role of a slave or a servant. And if you know the story, you know that they object to it. He talks about the importance of service and that if they won't let him serve them, that they aren't going to have a part in him. He goes through that, puts his other robe or his outer robe back on, and then he sits and presents the meal, really acting as the host. And what's really interesting, when you think of the word host, especially in a religious context, it can mean multiple things. We talk about the communion elements as the host. And Jesus actually plays the role of host and imagines himself as the host that is served. The divine, in the form of a servant, both sets the table and says, what you're eating, what you're receiving life from at this table is me as well. It's the ultimate act of hospitality, an invitation into belonging. There's a fascinating and beautiful icon painted by a Russian medieval artist named Andrei Rublev. I was reminded about this past week. It's something, maybe you've seen this image before. It's very famous. It's called Trinity. And it's an image of the Trinity designed to demonstrate the welcome God offers us at the divine table. I could spend a long time unpacking much of the theological meaning found in this image. For example, if you look at the faces of the three images, they're all the same. It's all the face of Jesus, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hebrews says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. So the fact that Father, Son, and Spirit are both represented in Jesus is one of those things. But that's not where I'm going to spend my time this morning. I simply want to highlight that while God is at the table, setting the table, and so we understand icons, they were designed to be looked at from underneath, and with us kind of participating in the image from the front. This is like God has set this table, inviting us to come to this other side of the table and join God in this. And what is at the table is the Eucharist or communion cup. God is both the host and that which we partake of when we come to God's table. It's the ultimate act of hospitality. So Jesus is doing this at the communion table. He passes out the body and the bread representing his body, the cup representing his blood. He does this even with Judas, who is about to betray him, knowing the betrayal is coming. He still offers himself. As we get through this beautiful and powerful, just this act and this story in the life of Jesus, Jesus eventually gets to these words for his followers. He says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you, and you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Many of us are very familiar with that, but maybe we detach it from the context that when Jesus is saying, love each other as I have loved you, it's at the setting of a table where he has served and welcomed them in. Coming to them as a servant, setting the table for them, and offering himself for them. Now, obviously, we are not Jesus. We are not the source of life for others in an ultimate sense. But our hospitality, when you put these pieces together, is, in a very real way, an extension of the hospitality that God offers us. He welcomes us to his table and says, okay, go and extend this table to others. Welcome others in. Care for them. Creating space where belonging can come through hospitality. It's the overflow of God's invitation to us to come to his table, to come sit at the table which has been set by the divine, at which God is both the host and the one served as our sustenance. This makes the idea of setting a table in our home a deeply spiritual thing. When we do that, we are receiving and extending God's sacrificial, hospitable home. When we treat someone to coffee at a local cafe, we're receiving and extending God's hospitable love. We're creating space for belonging that's an extension of the belonging we have received through the love of the Father, the sacrifice of Christ, and the presence of the Spirit. We think about hospitality this way as an extension, really, of what we do at our church every month, coming to this table. That's why I struggle with attempts to limit who's allowed to come to this table. Jesus invited all who are weary to come. God longs for all who will to receive life in his name. As we set this table this morning, we are both receiving and extending God's sacrificial, hospitable love. So we have a table set this morning. The bread shared by Jesus with his disciples and through them offered down generation after generation to all those who will come. This is a symbol of his broken body through which we have life. It is a physical symbol and a literal gift. The cup filled with grape juice or wine that comes through being pressed and crushed, shared by Jesus as a symbol of his shed blood, It's a means by which we receive and understand just how deep and wide his hospitality is, his welcome is, his love is. In this, again, initiated by Jesus and passed down through generation and generation of Christian through the last two millennia, in this, Jesus says, come to my table. I've set this for you. Receive sustenance and life from me. Receive my love. And then, in turn, extend this hospitality. Share it with each other so that all who are weary can come and have life. I'm going to invite the music team to come back. This didn't take as long as we maybe thought it would. But we're going to receive communion. And while we do, the team is going to sing. You're welcome to sing along with the team. Or you can just sit, or you can just reflect on some of what we've talked about this morning. So far, there's more to come. And thinking about this as a welcome to a table, this might feel a little bit chaotic to those who are used to the formality and ritual of communion as a religious exercise. But as we receive this as a welcome to the Father's table this morning, we're going to approach it a little more like a buffet. Come and enjoy. I invite you to, after I pray, I just invite you to come and receive a piece of bread, some juice. And as you come, eat and drink together at the table. Come with others and enjoy it together, receiving what Jesus offers. Eat and drink together at the table. Then you can maybe just set the used glasses on the table, not back in the tray. And then make some space for others to do the same. Come with others as you would like to. Serve others as you're comfortable doing it. See in each other those who share with you in God's welcome. Enjoy it with them. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Receive it. Receive life from it. Come and receive it together. Let's pray. God, the profound idea that you set this table for us as the host. And as we come, we receive life from you and we receive it together. That tied in with the image of your sacrifice makes it such a powerful, powerful picture. We are welcome. Together, we are welcome with you. God, as we eat and we drink together, reminded of your sacrifice, reminded of your love, enjoying your welcome, would you help us to not receive it in a closed-handed way, but in a way that in turn loosens our grip and passes it forward to others. So thankful for your grace, your goodness, your love. Help us to continue to be aware of your presence among us as we sing and as we receive. May all who are weary come. In Jesus' name, amen. As you are ready, all those who are oriented towards Jesus, please come. Mercy never fails me all my days.
All of my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you all.
I warned you that there was more. Before we close, there's another aspect of hospitality that I'd like you to consider. It's something about the divine hospitality that we see on display in Jesus that perhaps makes it even more radical to think about. When you think about Jesus and hospitality, most of the time, Jesus is the guest, sitting at the table someone else has set up. We're going to be looking at several of those stories when we do our table talk series, but consider just these verses. I'll just read the verses, not even give you the reference for them. But, you know, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him, so Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with him. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. As Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. So he went in and took his place at the table. One Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of a leader of the Pharisees, and the people were watching him closely. Those are all different stories, different events. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. How about in the Gospel of John? Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." When they came out to see him, this is the townspeople, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. In each of these stories, Jesus is not the one setting the table. He's bringing his presence as a guest. I was listening to a podcast with a gentleman named John Bowen. He's the professor emeritus of evangelism at Wycliffe College. In it, he was talking about the role of hospitality and friendship in helping people come to faith in Jesus. And he introduced the concept, the idea of, he used the word guesting. Guesting. The practice of embracing being the guest, not just the host. To participate in the act of hospitality by entering into the other's space and receiving at their table. Both host and guest are equally required for hospitality to take place. Often we like to think of ourselves as the one offering, not realizing the importance of allowing others to serve and entering into their space for there to be genuine and deep belonging. We can demonstrate belonging not only by setting the table, but by allowing ourselves to be the guest. Jesus demonstrates this so powerfully as he creates space for sinners and saints, foreigners and failures, space for them to set the table. And to him, come and eat. It's perhaps most powerfully demonstrated in the fact that Jesus became human in the first place. The divine practice guesting in the womb of a teenage mom, in the home of a lowly carpenter, in the backwater village of a backwater nation. I love Eugene Peterson's translation of John 1 when he says, "The word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood." God was so committed to guesting among us to show his love by coming into our space that he irrevocably became one of us so that we could know and receive life. As we go from here, may we be encouraged by our welcome at the table of God. May we be motivated to reimagine our own hospitality as an extension of what we have received through Christ. But may we not be so limited in our imagination to believe that belonging through hospitality can only come when we set the table, when we create the space. May the example of Jesus encourage us to enter into worlds unknown to us, to learn new languages, either literal languages or metaphorical languages in terms of how we understand things. To learn new ways of talking, new ways of being present so that we can embody the life-giving love of God at new tables, ones that are set by others who may never come and sit at ours. I don't know what that might look like for you or for me, but I pray that this is a story and a way of thinking about extending the hospitality of God that we'll be open to embodying as we follow this Jesus way. Let me pray. God, thank you again for your love for us. Thank you that we have a place at your table. And we think of the images of Revelation of this great wedding feast of the Lamb, where we get to sit alongside others at the table where you are the host and the meal. Just ran out of power on my mic, sorry. God, I ask that you would help us to extend that table to others, and God, that we would learn the ability, learn through practicing, sitting at the table that others set. That we would take your love and grace to those tables, and that others would come to know you there and have their lives changed. God, thank you. Thank you. Amen.